Like to turn your attention to Psalms 103. I'm not going to preach long. I know some of you have things to do. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. And being with family. Psalms 103, verse number 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And all that is within me. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What are they? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." Sounds like Thanksgiving. "So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Hallelujah. Don't forget. Don't forget. Church is a reminder. Don't forget. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for all that's in it and all that you do for us. We ask not only that you bless this message tonight, but God, you bless tomorrow. That we could be a witness to our families. It's all in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I tell God thank you all the time because I am so grateful to God for what he's done for me, what he's given me, how he's protected me, how he's healed, how he has blessed this congregation of people. We bless the Lord by not forgetting all his benefits. See, if you're thankful all the time, you will never forget what he has done for you. And from time to time, we need to go back and rehearse all the things that he's done for us. I know where he's brought me out of, and you know where he's brought you out, and you need to remember, I wouldn't be here if it wouldn't have been for the mercy of God and the power and the strength of God. But the danger at this time of the year, or even any time of the year, is to say thank you with our lips, but not grateful with our heart. We can go through the motions of even worship without really feeling what we're saying. I mean, we sing some of the same songs over and over again, and we can do that like a machine gun, you know, without really realizing what are we really saying to God. And the best possible way to give thanks is to live for him. The greatest worship there is to be living for him on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. When people are truly thankful, they do something to demonstrate how thankful they really are. Amen. Let me do something for you. Amen. I'm so grateful, God. What can I do for you? Amen. Not rather than where's the next blessing? We express our thanks by our worship. We express our thanks by our faithfulness. We also express our thanks by reaching out to those that are around us because he came in order to save the lost. And what we're saying, God, is I want to do what you came to do. And that's what ministry is all about, giving to others without expecting something in return. You see, that's what mature adults do. They want to give. That's what we did Sunday night. We wanted to give, and there's incredible feeling of satisfaction when you do that. I said to Brother East, it was more of a delight for me to hand you that check than it was for you to receive it. And he said, well, that's hard to believe, but something happens to us inside. Why are there so many happy people at Thanksgiving and Christmas? Why do people have a different disposition at those times? It's because something transitional happens in us as we think more about other people rather than ourselves. How can I bless somebody? What can I give somebody? This was and is the whole theme of Jesus coming to earth. How can I give rather than what can I get? I mean, if we put ourselves in God's place, surrounded by angels in a most incredible place, and then to humble himself and come to a people who didn't love him and wanted to kill him, I don't understand that kind of love. But what he did lavish in is our worship here tonight, you see, and that couldn't be possible until he did what he did. If you'll turn to Matthew 25, Matthew 25 and verse 34, Jesus said, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Hallelujah. Now, Thursday, I'm going to overeat. I've purposed already that I'm going to overeat. And I'm going to eat things that I normally do not eat. And Friday, my intent is to help the digestion. But early Friday morning, I'm going to find myself in prison. Ministering to, I don't know, 3, 5, 10 men. Now, it would be much more comfortable at home, you know. But, you know, what God is saying is, when you do those things, you're not only doing it to them, you're doing it for me. Amen. Glory to God. We have to understand that. Sometimes we think that nobody sees us well-doers, but God sees. The misnomer of Christianity is that the word Christianity is a noun. Just a name of a people who go to church, when Christianity should be a verb, a people who are in action. They are doing something to show more thanks than just saying things. If I want to win my neighbor, I should be willing to do something in order to win my neighbor rather than just praying for my neighbor. Maybe I need to help him with a project. Maybe I need to bake a pie or some bread or something and do something that would cause them to react to our kindness, you see. So let's look at some familiar scripture. James, the second chapter. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, or show me your thanks without doing something, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac as his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith. And then look at chapter 1 and verse number 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So God is impressed with our benevolence towards other people, but also our faithfulness to him. There is this feeling that shows up inside of us when we help somebody. I can't explain it. It might have something to do with the Holy Ghost inside of us. It may be God jumping for joy inside of us that causes us to feel so good when we do the things that are right, you see. I mean, they can train the least intelligent animals to do certain things because of the rewards that they get. And what God is saying is, the reason you feel good is because of what you're doing right now. We feel good when we worship God, and so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God loves worship. But then when we do something that is selfless to give to somebody else, or do the things that are incorporated in his word, and we start to feel good, it's God saying, yes, that's exactly what I want you to do. You see? Hallelujah. I get that same feeling after ministering in the prison, or after a home Bible study, or giving an evangelist a check. I get those same feelings when I know I'm doing right, even though it cost me something. It cost me my time, it cost me my gas, it cost me my effort. But when I do that, which I know pleases God, then there's this feeling that comes that says, yes, a contentment, a satisfaction, you see. But I know some people who are always feeling like they didn't get their share, or they've been overlooked, or they didn't get the attention. You know, that's not God, folks. Hallelujah. You can reverse that feeling by simply, you know, when I get to that place where someone's disappointed me or something didn't go well, I look for somebody to minister to. And it's an immediate relief from whatever happened. I shouldn't say this, but before service on Sunday night, I sat with Brother East. He had been ministering all week long here in Wisconsin, and frankly, there are a lot of churches who don't want him to come anymore because he just preaches it straight. They want a namby-pamby message. They want something that's watered down so it doesn't create any kind of conviction in their life. And so as a result, in fact, he's, you know, I'm not on Facebook. I'll never be on Facebook. But he chooses to be on Facebook. And then he gets some of these negative responses from people. And I said, you know what? Don't listen to that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It matters what God thinks, you see. And when what you do what's right, hallelujah. And that kind of stuff becomes contagious. Because you know the feeling will come back again. Just like it did the last time you did that, you see. How many know what I'm talking about? Jesus said, even if others aren't grateful for your efforts, hey, when you have done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. You preached the message I wanted you to preach, not what they wanted to hear. God took Saul out of the ministry, out of this position of king, because he said this, well, the people wanted to spare the best of the offerings. Completely opposite of what God told them to do. And when people determine, this is not a democracy, you have to understand. In fact, this country isn't built on a democracy, it's a republic. We are controlled by the Constitution of the United States, even though there are judges who want to completely trash the Constitution and do it their way. And the church is not a democracy. It's a republic based on the Constitution that God has given us. It doesn't matter if the majority says, I don't like this book. It doesn't matter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are in a place of God's physical body here on earth. And we will never run short as long as we keep giving out. That's the key. And it's such a simple principle. And like I said earlier, God's going to bless a bunch of people here because of what they've done to give. God has to. He has to, because that's what his word says. Take a look at Matthew, the 20th chapter. Matthew 20, starting in verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So if we're Christians or Christ-like, we have to follow the same steps that Christ did. Not to be, why am I not being ministered to today? Why didn't somebody, well, you know, our attitude when we walk in here is, how can I bless somebody else? You know? Glory to God. Now, we're bringing dessert tomorrow. And I went to Apple Holler. They have some pies that are absolutely incredible. The apple pie is like this, you know? And so when you come to dinner, you generally are responsible for bringing something for everybody. And when you come to church, you're really responsible for bringing something to someone that's in church here, you see? Amen. You can't just sit in the pew and gobble up. Hallelujah. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. And when we position ourselves towards helping others, that then brings pleasure to God. And when you bring pleasure to God, well, he just brings pleasure to you. The Latin language is considered a dead language. How many took Latin in school? You know, where do you go to speak Latin in the first place? You know, it was once the language of Rome in the first and second century, and from Latin came Spanish, Portuguese, French, Italian, and Romanian. And even our English language is heavily influenced by Latin. One phrase that has survived intact is quid pro quo. That's Latin. Quid pro quo means literally something for something. You know? Tit for tat, or you'll scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. When my grandkids were like 4 and 5, Sister Schumacher took them to a dollar store and gave them a couple of dollars. And my grandson bought this bluebird with his money because he knew that his great-grandmother, Sister Schumacher's mother, loved little bluebirds. And so he wanted to immediately go over to her house and give her that bluebird. And she was so overwhelmed by it that he would take his money that he could have bought some insignificant toy with, but he bought something for her. And she said, "Oh, I am so grateful." And he said, "Well, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours." He knew that he was going to get something out of the deal, you see. Hallelujah. It's a handy term that involves give and take. God said in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." Contingent, you see. "And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, here's quid pro quo, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." See, you give God what he wants, and then he gives, "Well, God, why aren't you giving this? God, why haven't you done this?" Well, what have you given him? God is saying his forgiveness and blessings are contingent on what we do something for something. And if we won't do what God has asked, then we won't get what we ask. It's that simple. You have to ask yourself, "Well, why isn't it happening? I've been praying, I've been asking. Well, what have you given?" Another quid pro quo in scriptures is found in Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse 38. Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Quid pro quo. "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom." So you see, it's not going to be $100 bills floating down from heaven, but what he can do is he can take unregenerated people to give to you because you gave to him. That's how he works. "For with the same measure that ye meet with all, shall it be measured unto you." So if you give liberally, God gives liberally. If you don't give, God can't. It's just that simple. Amen. Turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse number 17. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. No, I didn't give to you, God. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? You see, God can't lie. I am not out the money that I have given. God is now obligated to give back to me, but when he gives back to me, he's touched it like the loaves and fishes that in turn up to feed 5,000, and then there were 12 baskets full, you see. Somehow I need to be able to get it into his hands so I can get it back. Hallelujah. Amen. If he said it, you can be assured that he's going to do it. Another beautiful picture of God's quid pro quo is found in Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to opening of the prison to them that are bound. We have Jesus quoting that in the gospel, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heavy. You see the quid pro quo here? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of your God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your name ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portions. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them. All because we did what God wanted us to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, God daily, the Bible says daily, loadeth us down with all these benefits and blessings. But first we must obey him to reach out to those that are around us. It's the main purpose of the church. We have this misconception that that's the responsibility of the ministry. But what God is saying, boy, I really want to bless you. But first of all, bless me by reaching out to somebody else. Give of your time, give of your finances, give of your knowledge, you see. I've been blessed many times standing behind this pulpit, many, many times. But I've never been blessed more than when I'm sitting in my living room or somebody else's living room teaching the word of God to somebody who has never heard it before. And I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, much of the blessings that God has put in my life is because I've done that. Never stopped doing that. Oh, there's one more quid pro quo that was mentioned on the first day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Something for something. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You do this, and I'll give you that. It's God's way. You see, God cannot owe you anything. When we get to the place where we give something to God, whether it's time, whether it's finances, whether it's knowledge, whether it's extending ourselves to somebody who is hurting, comforting somebody, God's saying, got to be a payday. I've got to respond to that, you see. Because when we get to heaven, there won't be books that'll be open of what God still owes us, you see. He said, here, 100 times more, he'll give us lands and family and rewards. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that word rewarder doesn't mean goosebumps down your neck. It means finances. See? So, you know, when you're at the bottom of the barrel and you're wondering where the next meal is coming from, I know. Just give the rest of it to him. He'll bless it and multiply it. You see? Amen. It's an exciting life to live. I have this great benefactor who says, what do you need? You know? Can I be your campaign chairman? You know? Can I help you with your projects? But you have to have a project in order to help with. It's not here. Do whatever you want with it. He's a responding God. Hallelujah. Quid pro quo. He wants something, but he gives something as well. Amen. Hallelujah. We're a blessed people, folks. We are a blessed people. I still shake my head thinking, God, how did you save me? How did you save me? Of all of the people in this world who are in a much better place to get saved, he saved me. And I will always owe him, and always give as much as I can to him. Would you stand with me, please? Used to sing a song, I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. He has never let me down, ever, ever. I didn't understand it always. Timing wasn't always the right as far as I was concerned. But I know if I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. See, this whole life that we live isn't just our responsibility. We've got a God who sponsors, what could be a flop into something that's a victory. Amen. If we hand it over to him. The altar's open. Would you come?